This afternoon we're thinking about the Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. And this, the second of the Psalms that are known as the second Hallel, because they begin and end with the word Hallelujah, translated in our version, praise ye the Lord. The psalmist speaks of the God of creation. And there's a strong emphasis here upon the God of creation. And I think what we are being told here is that we cannot properly praise God unless we understand that he has made all things, that he is the great governor of the universe. Surely that is summed up, captured perfectly with the words of verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. The stars, there are so many of them. The Hubble telescope has shown us wonderful glimpses of places millions of light years away in the far-flung corners of the universe. And what radiance, what brilliance, what beauty. And yet, the Lord has given all those stars their names. He is the one that has created all things. And you need to believe this. If you're to be a worshipper of God, if you're to be a follower of God, you must believe that he is the creator. The Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 is not philosophy, but historic fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Never you believe that man evolved, that this earth began spontaneously as a result of a chance explosion, and so our solar system came into being. Never you believe that. It is a lie. Man did not come into being as a consequence of the processes of chance. It was not a fluke. God made us. God made the universe. God made this world. We cannot praise him. We cannot follow him unless we understand that he is the creator. The psalmist speaks of God's love here, his tenderness towards creation. He gives to the young ravens which cry in the verse 9. He makes sure that all of the beasts are fed. He talks about God's control of the weather. So often we complain about the weather. In some senses we are never happy. It is too hot, or it is too cold, it is too wet, or it is too dry. We're never content. And yet God, he gives us the weather. He's in control of the weather. He giveth snow like wool in verse 16. He casteth forth his ice like morsels, verse 17. He causeth the wind to blow, verse 18. And the waters flow. So God is in control of the weather. Here we have the great God of creation, the God who's in charge, the God who controls everything. We must remember this. We should never complain about the weather. It is all a gift of God. If the weather proves to be difficult for us, if too much wet weather is becoming difficult for the farming community, then we need to begin to pray and say to the Lord, look, will you step in? Will you intervene? And I know The last time we had a very wet spell, there were some farmers across the countryside who did get together for prayer. And these were men who feared God, who believed that it was important to pray, and it is important to pray because God controls the weather. But what strikes me about this psalm isn't just the fact that God is so great and that he has made all things, that he controls all things, but this great and mighty God, he takes a specific interest in men and women. And he has a tender heart of compassion towards humanity. You see, the Bible does not say that God loved the planet Mars. It doesn't say he loved Jupiter. It doesn't say he loved Saturn. It doesn't say he loved some planet that we've never heard the name of out there in the universe. But the Bible says God loved the world. Why is that? He loved the world because of the people that he has placed in this world. Human beings only exist in this planet, Earth. And God loves the world because of the people that are in it. And therefore, he loves you and he loves me. He loves us as individuals. And I find the words of verse 3 so illuminating, so comforting, so warming. He healeth the broken in heart. As a result of sin, we live in a broken world. Some are broken because of sickness. Some are broken because of bereavement. Some are broken because of troubles of their own making, addictions. Some are broken because of troubles that other people have inflicted upon them, violence, robbery. Some are broken because of difficulties in their family, because of problems in the marriage. We live in a broken, lonely world with many broken hearts. Is your heart broken today? People say things that are so foolish to the broken in heart. Oh, time will heal. Doesn't sound very comforting to me. Time will heal. Does time ever heal? Perhaps time enables the individual to come to terms with things, but does it really heal? Can a doctor heal the broken heart? A doctor can perhaps give medication that will help to control the symptoms caused by the broken heart, the sleeplessness, the severe anxiety. Doctor can't actually heal the broken heart. There's only one person that can heal the broken heart, and that's the Lord. He healeth the broken in heart. He can give peace where no one else, where nothing else can give peace. That's his tenderness, that's his love. And I would commend to you God today, the one who is the lover of the souls of men. And he has manifested his love through Christ. Christ was broken, his body was broken, his mind was broken, his heart was broken. We will never understand or appreciate the brokenness of spirit that Christ experienced on that cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet he was forsaken in order that we might never be forsaken, in order that we might sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do you know the friendship of the Lord today? I would appeal to the broken in spirit to come to Christ. Take the load of your sin and cast it upon him. And cry unto him for forgiveness. And find rest that only he can give you. For he healeth the broken in heart with all of the great power that he has. I thank you so much for listening.